Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Absolute Truth, Absolutely. I mean, I don't know about you, but that title gets me ramped up. I love Absolute Truth. And I know that there are many people that have become tired, weary even, of me repeating John 8:32. But the truth of the matter is that when you understand how precious liberty is, the benefits that truth brings to your life, it's not enough for you to repeat it. You have to live it. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, I know Jesus, and Jesus makes me free. He allows me to think for myself. Jesus, through what he did for me at Golgotha, he gives me freedom, eternal salvation. Do you have that gift? I hope you do. If you don't, it's time for you to get on your knees and ask our benevolent creator for salvation through the person of Jesus Christ, and he'll give it to you. Again, welcome to the new episode of ATA. I just want to, before we continue with today's topic, invite you that if you have any particular comments or questions that you want to direct, please do so and send those to my personal inbox, gio@lwim.org. gio@lwim.org. Now, this week, I wrote an article titled "The Silly Excuse Called Love." And I'll condense it for you. You can go over to my blog, uncompromisedtruth.wordpress.com, and you can read the article for yourself. But in essence, the argument, the essential argument of that article, of that piece, is that there is a common excuse that is being employed by many different people nowadays, and it has been adopted at large by the secular culture and even many Christians, which says that we don't do certain things out of love. And we explored the fallacious nature of such an idea. Because the way that love has been redefined today, you'll find that it's not love at all. For example, as it pertains to sex, you hear people calling it or categorizing it as making love. How can you, I ask you, please, if anyone can answer this question, and it's truthful, I would adopt it, but there's just no answer for it because it's an erroneous argument to begin with. How can you make love out of sex? When you're fornicating, you're doing it out of your own lust. You're doing it to please yourself. That's not making love. It's just physical interaction to please yourself. That's what it's all about. See, love is much deeper. Love, see, God is love. Love means that I make a commitment. Love means that I'm going to be here through thick and thin, no matter what. And I still think that my definition falls short. Love is something eternal because God is love. How is it that our society reduces sex, the, I guess, intimate contact between two individuals, or rather, I'm sorry, reduces love to intimate contact between two individuals? I mean, it makes no sense. It's offensive to God. It's offensive to the word. But you see, this is the type of redefinitionist society that we live in today, ladies and gentlemen. And it's important that we examine all these things. Why? Because we might be victims from these subtlest of satanic machinations. And this is why we need to constantly allude to the scriptures, go to them, especially to what Jesus says, so that we can live according to those precepts, according to that biblical worldview that will protect us. Now, part of what this protection provides is to be far away as possible from the modern day ideology, which says, I'm not going to do this because I love this person. For example, you get a lot of young people now repeating the phrase, especially a lot of Christians, who say, I don't necessarily subscribe to the whole idea that homosexuality is a bad thing. We have to show these people love. Man, what kind of love is this? So you see that the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. It is counterproductive to human health. It's against nature. And yet, because we find that most liberal talking heads through the media and stuff, they're demonizing those that believe otherwise and categorizing them as old school, antiquated, extremists, and all this stuff. Since many Christians don't want to be labeled those things, now they recant from the biblical positions, and they end up saying, no, 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 no. We have to make sure that we approach these people in love. Well, what could be more loving than telling a person, you're going to hell, man. You're going to hell. And of course, this is not just strictly exclusive to anyone that practices homosexuality, of course. We understand that. 1 Corinthians 6 could be, it's a pretty long list of people that practice certain things that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Homosexuality is just among them. But I'm just using it as an example because that's probably the most hot button topic of the day. Homosexuality. It's an alternative lifestyle. Remember that God made him that way. No. Wait a minute. You're skewing this. When you're talking to me about love, when you're talking to me, well, we can't say that because we have to show them love. What could be more loving than telling a person, dude, you're going to die. Dude, you're headed straight for hell. Dude, don't do what is against God's precepts because if not, you're going to find yourself in eternal damnation. You don't want to be there. See, love is not the following. It's not seeing that your fellow human being is about to go down the rabbit hole and being stuck in darkness for the rest of his life and not saying anything to them. What kind of a friend would that be? I mean, we would call that person cruel, insensitive. So why is it that we can say that in the natural realm, hey, why didn't you warn me? But yet, as it pertains to homosexuality, now it's a different set of standards, if you will. That makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. It's a nonsensical argument. But what happens? You've got people trying to flee, trying to abstain or keep away, rather, persecution. Persecution, which is just part of our walk, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, Paul couldn't have said it any clearer. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's part of the package. Why? Because you're trying to bring about the gospel which convicts the sinner of his sin. And there's going to be sinners that don't like it, and they're going to do everything they can to try to silence that. Because since the gospel convicts, they don't want to be convicted of their sin. They want to stay in their sinfulness. So they will do everything they can. Many people will do everything they can to try to silence the gospel. That's why the Bible says you're going to suffer persecution if you choose to follow Jesus. I mean, look at what they did to Jesus, for crying out loud. Yes, I know it was all part of the master plan, but still, nonetheless, it still doesn't discard the important point that what they did to Jesus was because he bore witness to the truth. Isn't that what he tells Pontius Pilate? I've been born so I can bear witness to the truth. Are you bearing witness to the truth? Are you hiding behind the lackadaisical, silly excuse that says, no, I'm doing it out of love? It's the same thing with these other individuals who are trying to achieve some sort of social status. Those that are trying to reach some sort of riches, or they do enjoy a comfortable lifestyle, and they say, I try to showcase Jesus through example, and I'll show them the love of God. Yeah, the problem is that these people, Jesus described them perfectly in Matthew 13. These are the types of people, individuals, who, because of tribulation, persecution, the cares of this world, this deceitfulness of riches, the gospel never, they never bear fruit. They never allow the gospel to bear fruit in their own lives. They nullify it. Why? Because they're so worried with other things that they forget the main benefits of the gospel. Look, somebody left me a message, a comment on the article, and you can even read it on the blog. And again, they were using the typical justifications, the typical kickbacks or attacks, rather, that the world uses to try to silence Christians. I implore you to read that. I posted a response to this very individual. I said, how is it possible that you're doing the same thing which you accuse me or implicitly accuse me of, which is negative judgmentalism? Because you find that homosexuals and others are saying, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're being intolerant, this, that, and the thing. What about you? Aren't you being intolerant of my views? Aren't you being bigoted? How come this is only a one-way street when obviously you're not willing to listen to what I have to say, to my point of view? Not only that, this redefinition of God is really offensive. When even Christians are saying, I don't see eye to eye with what the Bible says, why call yourself a Christian then? If you're going to be a Christian, you're self-identifying as a person who strictly adheres to the teachings of Jesus Christ, and you believe everything that comes with the package. You can't be three-fourths of a Christian, half a Christian. You can't be a quarter of a Christian. Three-fifths. You can't do that. You can't take the parts of the gospel that are so-called convenient and discard the others. It doesn't work that way. I mean, is anyone else a half a pilot? A half a police officer? Three-quarters of a teacher? That makes no sense, right? It's illogical, isn't it? Well, it's also illogical as it pertains to Christianity. You can't be half and half. Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, James does delineate it very clearly when he says that if you want to be a friend of the world, you can consider yourself an enemy of God. Not only that, if you approve of the sinfulness of others, you have God's judgment against you and you pretty much deserve to die. That's what Paul says. These are not my words. These are Paul's words. Romans 1, 28. Look it up. James 4. I mean, we live in such a redefinitionist society, ladies and gentlemen. They try to make us compromise on our beliefs by applying pressure, by trying to bring the gauntlet down. But we can't allow this to happen. If we believe in the truth, in the absolute truth, which is Jesus Christ, we can't compromise. There's no turning back now, including this hot button issue of the day of homosexuality. We can't discard it because others are telling us it's no good. These people smugly think that they know more than the creator of the universe. Think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we didn't create God in our image and likeness. He created us in his image and likeness. He tells us what to think. He tells us what to do, not the other way around. That's offensive. That's egregious to think that human beings are so prideful that they think they can tell God what to do and how to do it. But then again, there is a little thing called free will. And that is the beauty of it, to be honest with you. God gives us all a choice. But at the end of the day, we're all going to be individually responsible for the choices we make. So in the end, I would implore you to re-examine the usage of the silly excuse that many people are using nowadays under the pretext or false pretense of love. It's not love. This is not love. They're just not sharing the gospel and speaking the truth about sin to others because they don't want to hamper their existence. They don't want persecution to follow them. But guess what? It's part of the package. If they did it to Jesus, you better expect that they're going to do it to us. If not, don't be a part of the game. Don't be a part of the game. Because at the end of the day, it brings shame to the face of Christ. That's all the time I have left for this edition of Absolute Truth. Absolutely, I want to thank you for joining us for this episode. Share the gospel with your friends. Share these episodes with your friends so that they too can know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. Family members, co-workers, teachers, anyone that you encounter, share this with them so that they can know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. We meet every single Friday. If you're in the vicinity, meet with us. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida, every Friday at 8 p.m. Visit our website, lwym.org, lwym.org. Until the next edition, may the Lord shine his face upon you.